This is Don Wilson, ladies and gentlemen, surrounded by some of radio's outstanding stars who will entertain you by special transcription as their tribute to the Movie Radio Guide on the occasion of its 10th anniversary. First, we shall hear from Mother's Little Angel, Daddy's Little Devil, the creation of Fanny Bryce's inimitable imagination, Baby Snooks. Tonight, Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, is sick in bed, and the doctor has just finished his examination.
Well, Doctor, do you think I'll be all right?
Oh, yes, but stay as quiet as possible. Don't give that rash a chance to break out again.
I'll be careful, Doctor. Oh, is it all right if I answer a few letters on the dictaphone?
I don't think that'll hurt, but remember, no excitement of any kind.
Okay, Doctor, no excitement.
Well, I have to be running along now. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and thanks. Now, let's see this mail.
Hello, Daddy.
Snooks, I've asked you not to disturb me this morning. I'm busy.
Was the doctor here, Daddy?
Yes, he just left. Now, run along.
All right.
Gentlemen, yours of the 15th instant received and contents...
Daddy!
Are you still here?
Did the doctor bring us a little black bag?
Yes.
Have I been a good girl, Daddy?
Yes.
Well, ain't you gonna let me see the baby?
There isn't any baby. Now, please leave me alone. I'm supposed to have absolute quiet.
I want to stay here.
Snooks, the doctor said if I get excited, I'll break out in a rash again. Now, go away and let me get these letters off.
All right, Daddy.
Gentlemen, yours of the 15th instant received...
Daddy!
What do you want?
Who are you talking to?
I'm not talking to anybody. That is, I'm talking to my secretary, but she's not here.
Do you feel all right, Daddy?
Yes, I feel fine. And when I don't feel all right, I'll take my medicine. Leave me alone. Gentlemen, yours of the 15th instant and...
Are you talking on the telephone?
No, this is a dictaphone. It's a dictating machine that plays records.
I don't hear no music.
It doesn't play music.
Now, what is it for?
It's a machine that takes letters.
Like the mailman?
No.
Now, where does he take?
Nowhere! I mean, nowhere.
Can I see the letters, Daddy?
No, they're on this record.
What record?
This big black cylindrical thing. The letters recorded on this.
How are you going to get it in an envelope?
It doesn't have to go in an envelope.
Then how can you mail it?
I'm not going to mail it. Will you please leave this room and let me work?
Oh, look at this.
Look at what?
There's a strawberry on your face.
Jenny, yours have been received as you received a contents notice.
Daddy!
Oh, what's the use? Now what do you want?
There's another strawberry.
I know it. You made me get excited and the rash is coming back.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
How'd you get it?
I ate something that didn't agree with me. So it comes out on my face.
Did you eat strawberries?
No, I didn't. I ate fish.
Did you eat fish and strawberries come on your face?
Yes.
If you eat strawberries, will fish come on your face?
No.
Why?
Because I'm not sensitive to strawberries, only to fish.
Oh. Daddy.
What is it?
Do fish eat strawberries?
How do I know? Leave me alone with the fish and strawberries. I have to work.
On the machine?
Yes. Gentlemen, receive your strawberries of the 15th fish. Oh, what am I saying?
You better take some medicine, Daddy.
I don't need any medicine. I'm all right. I'm calm. I'm not excited. I think I got a fever.
What are you putting in your mouth, Daddy?
I'm going to take my temperature.
Was it cigar?
Oh, am I sick? I don't know what I'm doing. Where's the thermometer?
Here, Daddy.
Oh.
Does it taste good?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk with that thing in your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Daddy. I'm going to say the letter for you in the machine. Dear Uncle Louie. Daddy is very funny. He stuck on a glass lollipop. And he can make strawberries come on his face whenever he wants to.
Stop pulling on that dictaphone! Snooks, you're going to...
I think I better go out and play.
Look what you've done. The machine's wrecked. It'll cost me $100. Oh, I'm sick. Where's the thermometer?
You swallowed it, Daddy.
Oh, good heavens. Call the doctor. I'm dying. Oh, wait a minute. Here's the thermometer. It fell on the bed. Oh, thank heaven.
You feel better, Daddy?
Yes, yes.
There ain't no more strawberries on your face, Daddy.
Oh, no? Really?
No. Now they look like tomatoes.
Oh, quick. Get my medicine. That powder. Get a glass of water.
Shall I put the powder in the glass, Daddy?
Yes, but not too much. Just enough to cover a dime. Oh, I'm dying.
Wait, I'll get a dime for my back.
Oh, that dictaphone. $100. I'll never get well. Snooks, hurry with that medicine.
Here, Daddy. Drink it down.
Ah! Ooh! It burns! Snooks, how much powder did you put in this glass?
Huh?
I told you only to put in enough to cover a dime.
Well, I couldn't find a dime, so I used 10 pennies.
If ever a young man sang his way into the hearts of all of us, that young man is Tony Martin. He's here with one of his favorite numbers, Love Is. Tony Martin, Davy Rose and the orchestra, and Love Is.
Love is, you are, I am, we exist because love is what you are.
The magazine that is read by every movie and radio star is Movie Radio Guide. It's the only weekly magazine in America devoted exclusively to publishing the latest news, stories, gossip, and pictures from the Hollywood movie sets and also from broadcasting studios from coast to coast. In addition, Movie Radio Guide publishes the most complete program schedules of all your favorite stations for a week in advance. You'll find at a glance a list of guest stars, special broadcasts, news broadcasts, outstanding musical and dramatic programs to be heard during the week. Get a copy of Movie Radio Guide at any newsstand for only a dime. If you get the habit of reading Movie Radio Guide regularly, you'll never want to be without it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bill Goodwin speaking, and I want you to meet the man whom I consider the best comedian on the air. And I'll always think so as long as he pays my salary. Here he is, Bob Hope.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Hope congratulating Movie and Radio Guide on their 10th anniversary and telling them if they use our product through each decade, their teeth will never be decayed. But Radio Guide has been very nice to me. I remember after my first broadcast, they said, and the other critics weren't half as nice. But I have a lot to thank Radio Guide for, especially the fellow they have running up and down on my broadcast hollering, get it here, get it here. You don't know who to blame without a Radio Guide. And they were so thoughtful to me in my first days. I can still remember how scared I was in my first broadcast. I put my hand on the table to steady myself and got three messages from the spirit world. Thank you. To show you how bad my first program was, the next day I got an envelope from my sponsor, and there wasn't any letter in it, just a handful of hair. But really, I can appreciate the work the editors of Movie and Radio Guide have in getting out their magazine every week, because I once put out a radio magazine myself. I remember one day when I was at my desk. Oh, hello. Hope Radio Magazine. We know all the radio stars, and here's the latest dope. The best one on the radio is that great guy.
Jack Benny.
Fibber McGee.
Fred Allen.
Fifth columnist. Say, Tommy boy.
Yeah, boss.
I want you to go down to the cooking department and talk to Prudence Nickel.
Don't you mean Prudence Penny?
No, she got a raise.
Say, boss, where's our star photographer and reporter, Ace Colonna? Is he out on the story?
Yeah, he's down at the burlesque show. Something's liable to break any time. Hello?
Is this the editor? Listen, I just got hold of a juicy bit of gossip. It's about Bob Hope.
Wait a minute, I'm Bob Hope.
Oops, wrong magazine.
Colonna, you floor me.
No, you floor me. I take a high polish.
Say, Bob, what's this thing that just came over the wire? It says, yes, no, perhaps, could be, might be, impossible, can't be, shouldn't be, maybe.
Give it here, Skinny. That's the Los Angeles weather report.
Listen, you printed a story about me in your magazine and it ain't true, see? I didn't put nobody in no sack and drop them in no river on the night of June 5th. Oops, let me think. Oh, gracious, my mistake.
Say, Bob, where's your ace photographer, Colonna?
Oh, he's back in the darkroom. He should be finishing those pictures now.
Say, Hope.
What is it, Colonna?
I'd like to ask you a question. Is this darkroom supposed to be pitch black? Absolutely black?
Yes.
Not even one ray of light?
No.
See, honey, I ain't trying to fool you.
Colonna, is there... Colonna, is there a girl in that dark room with you?
Oh, no. There's nothing in here but me and some pictures I'm developing.
Oh, Professor.
Talking pictures.
Oh, Bobsy, is this big machinery the printing press?
Yes, and be careful of that printing press. Watch your step. You're going to fall in the presses. Oh, great Scott, Professor. What happened to Kabina? Did she fall into the newspaper rolls?
I don't know, Hope, but here comes the magazine out now. And look, Dick Tracy's wearing a bustle.
Thank you. Congratulations again, Movie and Radio Guy.
Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, to stop at your favorite newsstand and purchase a copy of Movie Radio Guide magazine. Please remember that Movie Radio Guide is the only weekly magazine in America that publishes the latest news, gossip, stories, and pictures from both the broadcasting studios and Hollywood movie sets. You can double your movie and radio enjoyment if you read Movie Radio Guide magazine regularly. This program has been a salute from the nation's outstanding radio stars to Movie Radio Guide magazine on the occasion of its 10th anniversary. This is Harry Von Zell speaking.
This is Harlow Wilcox, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you by transcription from Hollywood, California, where some of radio's outstanding stars are gathered to pay tribute to Movie Radio Guide magazine's 10th birthday. A host of stars are here to entertain you, and here to lead this great talent parade are the first citizens of Wistful Vista, Fibber McGee and Molly. The McGees are really putting on the Ritz tonight. for their dinner guest is an old beau of Molly's, the wealthy Otis Cadwallader of Park Avenue. And to really impress Mr. Cadwallader, Fibber has persuaded Throckmorton Gildersleeve to act as the McGee butler. And so here in the dining room at 79 Wistful Vista, with Gildersleeve in a rented livery and the host in a hired rig, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
A little more dignity, please, Throckmorton.
Yes, madam. Beg pardon, sir. You're Olive.
Olive? Yes.
Throckmorton, that's no way to serve an olive with the sugar tongs.
Sorry, madam, I couldn't find the ice pick.
That's different.
Throckmorton, shove a little more corned beef and cabbage on Mr. Cadwallader's plate.
Yes, sir. More corned beef and cabbage for Mr. Cadwallader.
Cadwallader.
Yes, madam.
Charming neighborhood this, Molly. Must be very restful after traveling so much of the year.
Oh, we find it so, Otis.
Yes, we got pretty good neighbors, too, Otis. Though we don't mix much with them. They're mostly middle class. Give Otis a toothpick, Molly. This Dublin duck is kind of tough. Yes, Otis, we got pretty nice neighbors. All except the one next door. A rather vulgar lout named Gildersleeve.
Beg pardon, Mr. McGee.
Huh?
Your elbow.
What?
It's in the mustard again.
Thanks, Gildersleeve. Rocknettin.
Come, Otis. You're not eating anything. My goodness, you've been pecking at your food like a bird.
Yeah, a vulture. Just Josh and Cadwallader, old chap.
That's quite all right. Molly, I don't believe I care for another thing.
Oh, won't you have a shot of Java, Otis? Throckmorton, a demitasse for Mr. Cadwallader.
Yeah. And put a saucer under it, too. Let's do this thing right.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
McGee, let's have coffee in the library.
Oh, it's too late, Molly. They close at 7:30.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent, Fido. Excellent.
Yeah. Fibber, Otis.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Fibber.
If you'll pardon me, madam, I think I hear the good humor man with the dessert.
I'll have to make allowances for Throckmorton, Otis. He's been with us so long, he hates the whole family.
Well, if you'll excuse me, perhaps I won't wait for coffee.
Oh, now, hold your horses, Otis, old boy. Here comes Throckmorton now.
The dessert, sir? Shall I remove the sticks, or do you prefer to rough it?
You tend to that later, Throckmorton. You better get Mr. Cadwallader's cup of hot coffee now.
Yeah, better bring the pot, too. I'd like a little more, and sugar and cream, too, while you're about it. Make it snappy.
Yes, sir. You're a hard man.
How about some more corned beef, Otis?
Yes, Cad, my lad. You know the old saying, if you don't eat it, we'll have to throw it away anyhow.
Yes, it's an old saying, and in this case, a mighty true one.
Ah, here's the coffee now. Really, Throckmorton, you should have used a tray.
Careful there, Throckmorton.
Oh, watch out! Oh! Oh, that coffee's hot!
Oh! Oh, dear. Oh, it's lucky you were wearing a brown suit, Otis.
Here, take my napkin. Where's my napkin? Oh, I didn't have a napkin.
Oh, never mind, McGee, never mind. I was leaving anyhow. You'll excuse me, won't you?
Oh, why, yes, but you...
Molly, it's nice to have seen you. My hat, Throckmorton.
Oh, now, Otis, please.
Where are my gloves, Throckmorton?
In your hat, Mr. Cadwallader.
Go get Mr. Cadwallader's hat and coat, Throckmorton.
Go get it yourself. My feet hurt.
Okay, I will. I wonder where he ditched them.
He put them in the hall closet.
In here?
Yes.
I've got to straighten out that closet one of these days.
Here's a young lady whose name is synonymous with modern American music, Miss Connie Boswell.
Divine, she beguiles this heart of mine. rest of vain. As she came, dark the future seemed to loom. Till her clear, brilliant sphere, new and light dispelled the gloom. Oh, she fled, quickly sped, all my joy and fleeting glee. As I wake, hope forsake, robbing me of godlike dreams, of godlike dreams. Ah, so pure, ah, so bright, birth of beauty on my sight. Oh, so mild, so divine, she beguiled this heart of mine. Martha, 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 Martha. Canst thou leave me thus forsaken? Come and share thy boon with me. Share thy boon with me, yeah, with me. Ah, so pure, ah, so bright, birth of beauty on my sight. Oh, so mild, so divine, she beguiled us all. Martha, Martha, thou hast taken every bliss away with thee. Canst thou leave me thus forsaken? Come and share thy boon with me. Come, share thy boon with me.
Share thy boon with me.
Star reads Movie Radio Guide magazine. It's the only weekly publication in America devoted exclusively to the latest news, stories, gossip, and pictures from not only the Hollywood movie sets, but also the broadcasting studios from coast to coast. In addition, Movie Radio Guide publishes the most complete radio program schedules for a week in advance. If you keep Movie Radio Guide by your radio set, you can select at a glance the best programs on the air. You can buy a copy of Movie Radio Guide at any newsstand for only a dime.
And now we'll hear from three other outstanding stars of radio. As we look in on the studios of a large broadcasting company, we find the inimitable comic and raconteur, Honest Frank Morgan, talking shop with the popular radio MC and songster John Conte, and the talented maestro Meredith Wilson. The maestro has just directed his orchestra in one of his popular chiffon swing creations.
That number sounded fine, Meredith.
Well, thank you, Frank.
But say, do you mind if I give you a little advice?
Why, of course not, Frank. I'm always glad of advice from an older man.
Stick to the script, Wilson. Or I'll start making up insults myself. It so happens, my long-haired young whippersnapper, that my advice is often sought by men much older than myself.
Why don't you stop all this nonsense, Frank, and get to the point? What was the advice you're going to give Meredith?
Advice. Well, Meredith, I was just going to suggest that you and John should do the way Clark Gable and I do. In other words, start saving your money against the day when people catch up with you.
Catch up with me?
Yeah, sure. Errol Flynn runs a hotel. Charlie Ruggles runs a pet shop. Gable's a licensed air pilot.
What about Myrna Loy?
Isn't she gorgeous? Oh, you mean her sideline? Yeah, well, that is. I mean, I wouldn't know.
Have you got a sideline, Frank?
Sideline? How do you think I paid for my yacht? That is, the first payment. I've got a business that nets me a very nice income every week.
Yeah. Yeah. You've certainly been mighty quiet about it. Nobody's heard a word of it.
Not even the police know yet. I mean, it's a very quiet type of business, John, but strictly legal. In a corrupt sort of way.
What kind of business is that? Do you operate behind barred doors?
Well, naturally. It's strictly for members. If you boys would care to drop around sometime, here's a couple of cards. You
just... Frank Morganese Percentage Palace.
Yes.
What is that Morganese?
Well, I thought it best to disguise my name a little. That's my nom de gip.
Well, this business doesn't sound good to me, Frank.
No. Frank, do your customers come there and engage in games of chance?
Certainly not. They have no chance at all. I tried it myself the other night and lost $40. I wonder if that wheel is on the level.
Well, every man to his own taste. I've got a little business too, Frank, but it's 100% legitimate.
Legitimate, eh? What's the business, John?
Did you ever hear of Adolph's Poultry Ranch?
Don't tell me you're Adolph.
That's me, fellas.
Why, Adolph Conti, we take eggs from you.
So do we.
I know, fellas. You're two of the best customers I have. You pay your bills.
Yes, I was just waiting for that, Conti. You say you're in a legitimate business operating under an alias? If you don't quit labeling those eggs as fresh, you'll hear from the Federal Trade Commission.
Now, I resent that, Morgan. What makes you think my eggs aren't fresh?
Well, all I know is yesterday my cook wanted to make me an omelet. She opened up the icebox and three of your eggs flew out of the window.
pay no attention to him, John. As for me, I have no complaint against your eggs.
Oh, defending them, eh, Wilson? You're probably a partner in the business.
No. I got my own business. Next week, I'm going to open up the cutest little restaurant you ever saw. I'm calling it, Mother Wilson's Tea Room.
Mother Wilson's Strip Tease Shop. What kind of a restaurant is it going to be, Ma?
Yes, Ma. Frank, we'll cater to every class. For instance, we'll have a 35-cent dinner and also cheap ones.
Also cheap ones. Meredith, are you going to feed bums?
No, but we'll have a special table for you anytime you drop in.
Don't worry, Meredith. I won't be there. What do you know about the art of cuisine?
Never heard of it. What's that got to do with a restaurant?
Meredith, your ignorance is abysmal. Oh. But it so happens you're talking to one of the world's greatest authorities on the art of dining, Morgan the Gourmet. Why, when I walk into foyers in Paris, the head waiter throws his arms around me, the chef comes out and kisses me on both cheeks. And why shouldn't they? I created the recipe that made them famous. Pressed duck a la Morgan.
A minute ago it was Morgany, now it's Morgan.
Autant, autrement.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know, but I'll look it up when I get home.
All right, what's this famous recipe for pressed duck a la Morgan?
Oh, yes. Would you boys like to copy it down?
Yes.
Certainly would.
Well, fine. Now, are you ready with your pencils?
All set.
Go ahead.
Well, first select a tender young duck. It mustn't be younger than 3 months, nor older than six. Place it in a deep basting pan, copper is best, and pour over it a quart of the very finest sherry. Then add 2 quarts of 20-year-old cognac and a pint of Napoleon brandy, if you have it, a magnum of champagne, 2 quarts of bourbon, and a quart of rye. Put it in the oven and keep basting the duck with liquor every 15 minutes. Then when it's cooked exactly 2 hours, not a minute more, take it out and it's ready to serve.
Gee, Frank, I'll bet that duck tastes absolutely marvelous.
Well, fellas, I never tried the duck, but that gravy...
Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, to get the new issue of Movie Radio Guide magazine, now on sale at all newsstands for only a dime. Remember that Movie Radio Guide is the only weekly magazine that publishes the latest news, gossip, stories, and pictures from both the Hollywood movie sets and the broadcasting studios. You will double your movie and radio enjoyment if you read Movie Radio Guide regularly. This program has been a salute from the radio stars to Movie Radio Guide magazine on the occasion of its 10th birthday. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking.